The revelation of Jesus Christ, i.e., the book of Revelation. The revelation was given to John the Apostle. We see that in verse 1 and 2. John had been banished to the Isles of Patmos, and we see that in verse 9. And in verse 10, he was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and he saw Jesus Christ. Jesus commanded him to write what he saw. And then Jesus also said that there's a blessing to those that read and keep those things in it. This was in verse 3. Genesis started with the creation of the universe, the fall of man, and the curse of the serpent. Revelation shows the end results for man, resurrection, first to those in Christ and granted eternal life, and second to the unbelievement to judgment and the second death. The judgment and the punishment of the old serpent that deceived the world is again recorded in Revelation, and then finally a new heaven and a new earth. What we need to understand Revelation is to start with the fall of mankind and how that brought about what will be the end of the rule of fallen man. Earth was given to man to rule, found in Genesis chapter 1, 28. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the fowls of the air and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. Revelation is about ending the fallen man's rule on earth and establishing the kingdom of God on earth, ruled by the second Adam, which is Jesus, and redeem mankind, which will be those who believe in Christ. It's the ending of suffering on the earth. People say, well, why does God permit suffering among humans? Well, in order to end suffering, you'll see what have to happen. And this is found in the book of Revelation. Now, Revelation is broken into three time part periods. This is said in chapter 1, verse 19. John was told to write the things which he has seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The things that he had seen is chapter 1, the glorified Christ. Things which are is chapter 2 and 3, the letters to the church. And the things which shall be hereafter, chapter 4 through 22. Now, if you look at the overview of the chapter 1, again, is glorified Christ. 2 and 3, messages to the church. 4 through 10, 15 and 16, the view from heaven. Chapter 11 through 14, 14 and 17, the view mainly from what's happening on earth. Chapter 19, the marriage of the Lamb and the coming of Christ. Chapter 20, the reign of Christ and the judgment that it brings. Chapter 21 and 22, a new heaven and earth. Now, that brings up the question is, does Revelation happen chronological order? And if not, what order? The thing to remember is John is one man recording from multiple views. What is happening in heaven? What is happening on earth? It makes it harder to determine precise order of the vision because he'll start in heaven and then change over to earth. But let's start with the glorified Christ. This is the first of Jesus since his ascension. Jesus described himself as the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the king of the earth. Now, if you think about that, what was he witness to? He was faithfully witnessing to the Father. What does it mean to be the first begotten of the dead? Jesus died as a man on the cross of Calvary, And he then was raised from the dead and became the first fruit of the resurrection. He was raised to his glorified body. Now, what does it mean to be the prince of the kings of the earth? Now, what is a prince? The prince is a king in waiting. He's next in line. If you look at England, currently in the year 2025, Charles is the king of England. And the prince in waiting is Prince William, the one to be the next king. Jesus is not yet the king of this earth, but he will become that. And we'll see what it will take to make this happen. Then Jesus talks about what he has done for us. He loves us. He released us from our sin by his blood. He made us a kingdom, and he made us priests to his God and Father. Now, if we look at what does it mean to make us a kingdom, this scripture is often overlooked, but it's very important. Why is it important? The first Adam was given a task and a promise. His task was, again, in Genesis 1 and 28, to fill the earth with humans by forming the family unit, and that was in Genesis 2 and 24. Have dominion over the life of the earth. Now, to have dominion doesn't mean just to rape it and to do whatever you want with it, but it means to be a steward of it, take care of it, and do right by the creation that God has given us. And then to follow the rules and the obedience to God, Genesis 2 and 16 and 17. And then finally, he was given the command to take care of the garden in chapter 15. If he did all that, the promise was everlasting life. But Adam failed to establish the kingdom. He failed to obey God, and thus he failed to establish the kingdom here on earth. Because as if failure, neither God will nor his kingdom is being done on earth. We see this in the Lord's Prayer, where Jesus taught us to pray as follows: Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom of God is not here yet on earth. The kingdom has been delayed. It was delayed by Adam's failed by not obeying God. Now everybody else also, mankind, Noah failed. Israel failed. They were the chosen people. The job was left then to the second Adam, Jesus Christ. Now, before the world foundation was laid, the decision was made that the Word would take on flesh, establish the kingdom, and redeem mankind. This is found also that required the obedience of Jesus, and in Philippians chapter 2, 6 through 11, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. doesn't mean they'll all be Christians. It means they'll be forced to admit that Jesus is the Son of God. All the unbelievers now, all the people that says he's not the Son of God, that there is no God, will be forced to confess that he was right. Now, what does it mean by emptying himself? It was the divinity of Jesus. He was God. And the Bible says, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus emptied himself of his glory, but not his divinity. He limited himself to the body and power of a man, howbeit a perfect man and the second and last Adam. Jesus was both the Son of God and the Son of Man, sort of like quantum physics, where light can be both a wave and a particle and be here and there. Don't ask me to explain that anything more. You can Google if you want to find more about it. Now, necessary to establish the kingdom, Jesus was to fulfill the role of the first Adam and make us a kingdom of God. Then he must do it as man, not through his divinity. All miracles was done through the power of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is available to all believers. He hungered just like you and I. He would get tired just like you and I. He would suffer pain just like you and I. The crucifixion was painful and the suffering was great. In 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Talks about he was betrayed in Matthew 26:45. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed at the hands of sinners. Now, we know the story of Gethsemane, and that was the suffering at the hands of Satan. At Gethsemane, Jesus was tempted to not go to the cross, but in total obedience to the will of the Father, he went. In chapter 26 and 38, while praying there, the earth, then he said unto them, the disciple, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and wait with me. Gethsemane means oil press. Jesus was pressed by all the hell could throw at him, but he overcame and obeyed the Father. The hour is at hand, in verse 45, Jesus said, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hand of sinners. Gabbatha is the suffering at the hands of sinner. Jesus' judgment seat before Pontius Pilate, deserted by his disciple, Matthew 26:47-56, beaten by the temple guards, Luke 22:63-64, rejected by the people, Matthew 27:17-15, and John 1:11. He was scourged in Matthew 27:26, mocked by soldiers, and a crown of thorn was put upon his head. Again, Matthew 27:26-29. The beard was plucked from his face, Isaiah 50:6. Golgotha, a suffering at the hand of the sovereignty. At Calvary, God fully and finally dealt with sin, and he did it in the body of his own Son, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish. He was stripped naked in Matthew 27 and 35, crucified, abandoned by the Heavenly Father, Matthew 27, 35, my God, why have thou forsaken me? This was before a time. God could not look upon the sins of man that was placed upon his Son. Sin was judged at the cross through Jesus. He stood in for us. Isaiah 53, 4, 6, 11 through 10 through 11, Romans 6, 23, and Hebrew 2 and 9. Read those to understand more. Then it says he was the firstborn of the dead. Revelation, the firstborn of the dead, 1 and 3. By being obedient to the cross, Jesus was able to redeem the promise of God for mankind to have everlasting life. 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 23, reading now this time from the New American Standard Bible. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruit of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as Adam all died in Adam, so also in Christ all were made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruit, and after that those who are Christ at his coming. Now this is a good time to stop. I'm breaking these into smaller pieces, so they're easier to put onto the web to be able to read. And we'll talk about in the section 2, the birth of the church. But if you're hearing this and you're not a born-again Christian, you can become a follower of Christ by just saying, dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. I'm sorry for them. I ask you to forgive me. Wash me in the blood, and I will live for you. Amen.